So tonight, the final part 17, biblical prophecy. And before I start, I'd just like to thank Brother David Cloud and his ministry. This whole prophecy series was due to his diligent studies. And I've just appropriated it for free. It was a free ebook, amen. So you can read about all this on, you can download it for free online off wayoflife.org, is it? Yeah. And there's a section there with free ebooks, and there's, I don't know, it's probably about 70 or 80 free books. Yeah. And you can actually purchase some too. Some aren't free. But anyway, I'd just like to thank Brother Cloud and his ministry, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to use his material. Amen. So tonight, as I said, it's part 17. It's the last part of biblical prophecy, and tonight we're going to be looking at prophetic speculation. Okay. Anyway, let's pray and give the service to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Coastline Baptist Church, and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in your word we see many, many scriptures of prophecy, Lord, and Lord, we've seen, Lord, through this series on prophecy that a lot of it has come true, Lord. And Lord, now we are waiting, Lord, for your return. We thank you, Lord, that we can plainly see that in your word, Lord. I pray you'd help everyone tonight to understand what it is you have to say to them. And Lord, I pray you bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been said that Jesus must be coming soon because of microchip implant technology. Animal microchip implants have been around for 30 years, would you believe? The first human microchip implant was in 2005, so that's a long time ago now. Now businesses around the world are giving their employees the opportunity to be microchipped to access their buildings, computers, and even vending machines on their premises. And I watched a video of some people in Sweden having microchip parties where they get a chip put in, but as we shall see, it wasn't in their right hand. They were getting it done in their left hand. But anyway, they weren't getting it in their forehead. No. So there's no doubt that rapid advances have been made in chip implant technology, but this means very little as far as the coming of Christ is concerned. Christ's coming is imminent. But it's not predictated by signs. We have no way of knowing if the Antichrist will use an implanted chip for his evil purposes. The Bible says the sign is a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Please turn with me to the book of Revelation. We'll look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 16 and 17. Revelation chapter 13. And verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. A chip implant is not a mark. So based upon the simple reading of scripture, it's more likely the sign of the Antichrist to be something that is visible rather than an invisible implanted chip. But, there's always a but, Brother Huey, but at the same time, the scripture does say in their right hand and in their foreheads. But anyway, be that as it may, to try and figure out the identity of the Antichrist or the mark of the beast by observing current events is vain speculation and basically a waste of time. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' disciples ask, what will the sign of his return and the end of the world be? If you'd like to please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3 says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Ironically, false teachers misinterpret Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus said, Those who see all of the events of Matthew 24 fulfilled will know the time of his return. Please drop down with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 24 verse 33 says, So likewise, this is Jesus speaking, So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What are all these things? What are all these things that Christ has prophesied in Matthew 24? He's referring to those who are alive during the Great Tribulation. Verse 15 refers to the abomination of desolation that shall stand in the holy place. Verse 21 refers to the Great Tribulation or Great Tribulation. Verse 24 refers to powerful miracles performed by false Christs. And verse 29 speaks of the sun and the moon darkened and the stars falling from heaven. Matthew 24 does not refer to church age events. While it is true that portions of Matthew 24 have been fulfilled through church history, such as false teachers, false signs, false Christs, earthquakes and wars, the prophecy specifically describes the events of Daniel's 70th week. Christ spoke of the beginning of sorrows in verse 4 to 8. As false teachers, wars, famines, pestilences and earthquakes. The things described in Matthew 24 verse 4 to 8 have been evident throughout the age and have grown in intensity, particularly in the last century. But the beginning of sorrows more specifically refers to the first part of Daniel's 70th week. Matthew 24 verse 9 to 30 clearly refers to the events of the Great Tribulation that the church age saints will not see. So it's interesting to witness the current events and to speculate about what these events might mean and when the Lord might come. And it's interesting to speculate whether or not the European Union is the revived Roman Empire. But there's a lot of buts tonight. But the Lord does not want his people to focus on these things. He wants us to focus on the Great Commission. Amen? The writings of the apostles do not contain prophetic speculation. So does speculation have a place in Bible preaching and ministry? Are we to be speculators? No. We are to preach the sure word of God and leave the speculation to the prognosticators of this world. Preachers who have focused on prophetic speculation have proven to be false teachers. They observe, they speculate, they prognosticate, and their prognostications turn out to be wrong. They prophesy economic collapse, but the economy doesn't collapse. They prophesy Y2K pandemonium, and there is no pandemonium. They speculate that the US invasion of Kuwait to drive out Saddam Hussein will usher in the events of Revelation, but it doesn't happen. They speculate that the preparation for the rebuilding of the Jewish temple means that it will certainly happen now. They speak of blood moons and red heifers and all sorts of supposed wonders, which turn out to be nothing wonderful. There are many preachers whose ministries focus almost exclusively on speculative prophecy. They are Middle East watchers. They delve into conspiracies. They see prophetic significance of the El Nino events. They speculate about the mark of the beast and the identity of the Antichrist. But there are prophecies being fulfilled today. Amen. There are the prophecies about apostasy. You don't have to turn there. We've read the scripture many, many times here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Notice also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see this happening right before our very eyes. There is Daniel's prophecy that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. And again, you would have heard this before in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. There is Israel's return to the land in a spiritually blind condition in Ezekiel chapter 37, and verse 7 and 8. There is the rage of the nations as described in Psalm chapter 2. And there is no doubt that we are seeing the stage set for the grand fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The stage is being set by such things as computer communications technology, military technology, religious syncretism, and globalism. But when it comes to the events described in the book of Revelation in chapters 6 through 18, none of that will happen until the church age saints are raptured. That's you and me, my friends. And that is imminent. As in, it might happen any time at all. I might not be finished preaching my message tonight. We could get raptured, amen? Or it might be 50 years down the track. Exactly. The events of Revelation is not the church's program. So therefore, it's a waste of time to speculate about the identity of the Antichrist, or the nature of his mark, or Armageddon, or the Army of the East, or how the events of this present time will fit into Daniel's 70th week. Why? Because we cannot know the answers of such questions. The Old Testament prophecies about Israel's conversion and glorious kingdom look ahead to the 70th week of Daniel and the second coming of Christ. This present church age is an interlude. Israel's prophetic clock ticked away through the 69 weeks of Daniel 9, which are weeks of years, and then stopped at Christ's death. According to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 and 26, the Messiah would come, then be cut off after the 69th year, and that is exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as Israel's Messiah and King. John chapter 1 verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Christ was rejected by the nation of Israel, just as the prophecy said he would be. And he turned to the Gentiles to call out a people for his name from among the heathen nations. And this is what he is doing today. This is explained in passages such as Luke chapter 19 verses 11 to 27, Romans chapter 11 verse 1 to 19, and Acts chapter 15 verse 13 to 18. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Acts, and we'll look at that passage of scripture, Acts chapter 15. We'll look at verses 13 through 18. Acts chapter 15. Can you still hear me in the back? Acts chapter 15 and verse 13 says, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Christ's disciples thought he would establish the kingdom immediately, but he explained that this would not happen. Christ would return to heaven, Israel would be scattered among the nations, and only later would Christ return to establish the promised kingdom. So during this present interlude, the prophecies concerning Israel, Christ is calling out a people for his name among the Gentile nations. We see that in the passage of scripture we just read. And if you didn't know, which I think you'll do anyway, we are Gentiles. At the end of this period, New Testament believers will be caught away to heaven, and Israel's prophetic clock will start again, and the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks, a week of 7 years, will be fulfilled. The events of Daniel's 70th week are described in scriptures such as Isaiah chapter 2, Zechariah chapter 12 and 4-14, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Revelation 6-19. Obviously there's a lot of scripture there, I ain't going to read it out, so you can have it, you can check it out to make sure I'm not telling you fibs, amen? During Daniel's 70th week, in the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel and the world will be subject to great troubles and judgments from heaven and unspeakably horrible wars, famines, pestilences and earthquakes. The Antichrist will make a peace pact with Israel and will rule the world. After 3.5 years, the phony peace pact will be broken and the Antichrist will desecrate Israel's temple and set himself up as God. And this will mark the beginning of the last half of Daniel's 70th week and the start of the most terrible period of trouble the world has ever seen. And sometime during the 70th week, Israel will be converted. And at the end of the 70th week, Christ will return in power and glory to establish the promised kingdom and to judge the nations. Our duty as Christians is not to look for prophetic signs. Christians have an entirely different program from that of the nation of Israel. We are not to look for the fulfillment of Israel's prophecies. Our work is to carry the gospel to all people. And this is the great business of the individual Christian and of the churches. Because as Christians, we should be ready at all times to be caught away from the world. And I think this was last month's memory scripture or the month before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our memory verse was actually the last half of that scripture. So for the Christian, the coming of Christ is imminent, meaning it can happen at any time. Christ warned us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. This is a very important Bible truth. It is essential that the Christian be ready to depart at any time, ready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4 says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There we see again that we are not appointed to wrath. So the tribulation is not for the New Testament saints. As a Christian, we can know the general times and seasons, but we cannot know the time of Christ's return for his saints. We cannot know the day. We cannot know the year. We can't even know the decade. And in fact, we can't even be sure about the century. Amen? I mean, it all looks like it's going to be happening this century, but we don't know. The Holy Spirit is restraining the devil's program in the world. And this is the element of prophecy that makes it impossible for us to know when Christ will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 6 and 7 says, And now ye know that withholdeth... And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So these verses say that the Holy Spirit is restraining the mystery of iniquity. Brother Huey spoke on this last week. Amen. And he will restrain until he's taken up with the New Testament saints. Even though signs are being fulfilled in this present world events, we cannot know by observing these events when Christ will return. Why not? Because we don't know how long the Holy Spirit will restrain. He has the power to slow the devil's program down and keep things from progressing. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verses 7 and 8, Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Lord's primary purpose in this age is to call out a people for his name among all nations. The Spirit of God is the omnipresent God. He has always been in the world in one sense, but he came at Pentecost in a special sense of equipping the churches for the Great Commission and convicting sinners of their lost condition and drawing them to Christ. He is controlling the events of history for this objective, and he will do this as long as he wants, and it is impossible to know when this evangelistic program will be completed and the time of the fulfillment of prophecy will occur. The Bible plainly tells us that the reason that Christ has not yet returned is his desire to save sinners. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We will not know the time of Christ's coming until it happens. It will be a surprise. Amen. We will not be on this earth to see the Antichrist make his covenant with Israel. We will not see the two witnesses stand in Jerusalem to denounce the Antichrist and call upon them, men to repent. We will not see them killed, and we will not see them resurrected. We will not be here when the Antichrist stands in the temple and announces himself as God. We will not see the mark of the beast forced upon the world. We will not see the great judgments of Revelation poured out. We will not see the northern power of Ezekiel 38 and 39 descend upon Israel and be destroyed by God. All those events belong to Daniel's 70th week, which is part of Israel's program. Only those who are left here on earth after the rapture will witness these events. Christians are part of another program altogether, and we need to mind our business and make sure that the work that God has given us is fulfilled. There is a lot of time wasted by Christians in the study of current events and in trying to find prophetic fulfillment in these events. Now, I'm not talking about the study of Israel's history, its present condition and future. Israel is God's chosen nation, his glory, and it is very profitable to study Israel. And I'm not talking about studying Bible prophecy, which is a very important endeavor. It's so important, in fact, this is number 17 of a series, and I think Pastor James preached for a whole year on that sort of stuff. Amen. Certainly it is wise to know that the hour is late. In fact, the hour has been late for 2,000 years. We have been living in the last days for all of that time. And God has been long-suffering toward this wicked world. As I've read before in the scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, with not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has been calling out a people for his name. That is why the gospel is to be preached throughout the world in every generation. This is the means whereby God is saving people and adding them to the churches. God is calling men through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The worldwide preaching of the word of God, that is to be the priority of every believer and every Bible-believing assembly. Just before Christ ascended to heaven, the apostles asked, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's in Acts chapter 1 verse 6. They wanted to know about prophetic details and dates. The Lord replied this way, Acts chapter 1 verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There you have it. The Lord told them they were not going to know the details of prophetic events and dates beyond that which is written in Scripture. Instead, they were to give themselves to proclaiming the word of God to the ends of the earth. In conclusion, it is not wrong to study prophecy. Prophecy forms a large part of Scripture and it is important for the Christian life. Prophecy is a great light, an encourager and a motivator. But at the same time, we should not go beyond written prophecy and give ourselves over to speculation. We cannot determine the time of the rapture by observing world events. As I said, the rapture will be a surprise and it will not be preceded by specific signs.